But look in Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Happy to be saved, say amen. Amen. Happy to be going to heaven, say amen. 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 Thank God for that tonight. I'm glad heaven's real, amen. And when we get to ours, Brother Lewis' son, we're going to praise him while the ages roll. Look in verse 24. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And again, Lord, we love you. We'll tell you that we love you, but glad that you loved us. And Lord, we thank you for the good choir singing tonight, the special singing. We pray that it's blessed and honored your name tonight. Lord, we thank you for the good testimony and that of the good news and that of the report that they got back on Zeke, the good things that they got to do and how you blessed them, Lord. I thank you for that tonight. But God, for the next little while, we certainly stand in need of you. I need a touch from the Holy One tonight that you'd come by and that just increase and strengthen our faith and that in you that you might touch us while we preach tonight. And Lord, we're looking to heaven and that for our strength and our power. And God, we pray that you might save somebody here tonight that's lost, that you bring them to a place of conviction, that they might get saved tonight to realize their lost condition, that they're dying and going to hell, needing to get saved. Now again, I ask you to help us while we preach and save that sinner that's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray, amen and amen. You be seated tonight. As we've been preaching here out of Hebrews chapter 11, on the roll call of faith, I want to begin to deal tonight with Moses' faith. Now, we've started all the way from creation. As you go back to verse 3, we find that we believe by faith that God created it, as Scripture says tonight. And then we looked at Abel and looked at Enoch and looked at Noah and Abraham and all his family and Jacob and Joseph and Isaac. And then the last time we looked at this scripture in verse 23, we looked at Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents. And we've seen the faith that they had and that to put him in a little ark made of bulrushes that had been slimed and been pitched within and without. And sent him down the river over there, and Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and took him in. And so this whole chapter deals with faith. Now let me say today that as Christians, we live by faith. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's easy for me to say that we walk by faith and hard to live it sometimes. Hey, sometimes we need God and that to come by and touch us. We need God to come by and turn a light on and say, this is the direction that you need to go. But sometimes we got to take, and you're going to hear me say some things tonight to begin with that you already know, but sometimes you take what you know about this book, you believe it and you trust it, and then you go forward with what you know. And that's called living by faith. Now let me say that the very first action of faith in your life is when you get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so tonight you have to believe in faith the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you, rose again for you, and now seated at the right hand of God to make intercession where he might save you if you'll come and ask him to do that. Nothing that you can do to be saved except trust the blessed Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, I'm glad it's all by faith tonight, church, that salvation is real tonight. But living by faith is hard to do. But living by faith, let me rephrase that, living by faith sometimes is hard to do. Shouldn't be all the time. Listen, there's been times that I've been whistling living by faith and saying, boy, I'm trusting God. And everything is going to be all right. And he is going to handle it.
Amen.
But we sung page 162 tonight. Let me see if I can find a part of that song. Because as we sing it sometimes, I think, well, now that's not exactly true. Let me see. where it talks about right here, though the tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. Is that true tonight? How many times that our faith has been weak and we've been alarmed at the overcast skies? I tell you, I have been. I tell you, when the sun refused to shine, that there's been some times that I've been alarmed. But I tell you what, if we're truly living by faith, it does not matter what the alarms are. Friend, we can trust in the Lord tonight. Amen. And I love it. I love it tonight, trusting in the Lord. I'm glad I'm not trusting in me. But let's look at Moses tonight. God been our helper for just a little while. I want you to look at the very first part that your Bible says in verse 24. By faith, Moses. Now remember, always remember as we're preaching this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that's how faith works tonight in our life and in everybody's life in this Bible. And so we find that the Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son, a Pharaoh's daughter. So we find that God must have begun and that to spoke to Moses about leaving Egypt. Now you'll find something as you look at Moses' whole life, you'll find that it's busted up into three main parts. The first 40 years, Moses' life is spent down in the land of Egypt, and he's called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You'll find the second part of Moses' life, the next 40 years, is spent on the backside of the desert as Jethro's son-in-law, tending the sheep for his father-in-law. And then the last 40 years, you'll find that Moses is the deliverer and that of the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and he is their pastor up until the time that God is going to take them over into the promised land. But I want you to look that first of all, by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to think for just a minute as you take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 7. Look with me in the book of Acts chapter 7. It begins to lay some things out about Moses' life. If you look in Acts chapter 7 and look in verse 20, the Bible said, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fire and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deeds. Now if you look in verse 23, as it begins to say there, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart. Reckon how that happened. To visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So the Bible tells us right here that when Moses was come to years in verse 24 of the book of Hebrews, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to imagine and picture with me for just a minute all the things that he was going to give up and that to leave Pharaoh's house. Imagine on what it talks about right here, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Talks about the riches of the treasures in Egypt. Think about all that he was going to give up. Think about everything that Moses was going to leave behind. How that he was trained in all the ways of the Egyptians and everything that they had taught him and trained him. But yet something changed in his heart that at 40 years old, he decided, I'm going to leave here. I don't want you to look at what your Bible said, that choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. Now listen, Moses knew who he was.
Amen.
No doubt there had been stories told. Listen, Aaron and Miriam knew that Moses was their brother. Now there's no doubt that, listen, that Jochebed and Amram, I might have told him the stories. And no doubt God has come to him and showed him that he's going to have to suffer with their people. If you look in Exodus chapter 1 sometime, you'll find in verse 13, the Bible said the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they were made and made them serve was with rigor. Now, I tell you now, if you're going to live in the world, you're going to be in bad shape tonight. Listen, I mean, you're going to have to serve with rigor. I mean, you're going to be in bitterness and heart bondage if you're going to serve the world tonight. And here, the children of Israel, they're captive. And that, by the Egyptians, what is a type, and that of the world, it's about to wear them out. Amen. Now listen, God ain't ready to lead them out yet. He's just getting his man ready, you see. Sometimes he's got to get his man ready, and then he'll get his people ready, you see. And I'll show you that just here in a minute. But here they are, and I mean they're serving hard. And in Exodus chapter 2, you'll find out that the Egyptians actually beat on the Israelites. And I mean it was just a hard life to live. But by faith, Moses was willing to live it. The Bible said right here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Can I tell you tonight, if you're going to separate yourself, listen to me now, if you're going to separate yourself as a Christian out of this world and you're going to serve God, then listen tonight, then you're going to suffer and that persecution. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that yea and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Folk are going to make fun of you. I don't think that's a whole lot of persecution. If that's the worst that happens to us is that folk make fun of us and they call us names. Boy, I tell you, that's nothing tonight. Hey, that men and women have given their very life and that for serving Christ. And we're so petty that we want to quit when somebody calls us a name. Shame on us. Amen. But the Bible said right here that Moses knew what he was getting into. Hey, listen, I would rather suffer in that tonight as a Christian, as the Bible talked about in the book of 1 Peter, than to suffer as an evildoer. Amen. I'd rather suffer as a Christian. And so we find tonight, and listen, you can see all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll see the prophets of the Old Testament, you'll see the apostles and the Christians of the New Testament, that when they lived for God, that they suffered for their Christian life. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was chasing the church down and trying to kill it. Would we still meet today if folk were trying to kill us? Seriously, think about that for just a second. We live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the freest nation on the face of the earth, and we still struggle to get to church. How many of us, if there was just the least bit and that of persecution or threat of our life to put on the line to worship, how many of us would come? Seriously. Well, I can worship God from my heart. He said, fail not to forsake not to assemble of yourselves together the manner of some is. We're to assemble together as his people. Hey, listen, I know we can meet with him. I met with him today, amen. Before I left the house, met with him this morning as I was getting ready. We met with him down in the prayer room. And I met with him now, amen. But Moses made a decision by faith. He's going to leave Pharaoh's daughter's house. He said, I'm not going to be called her son no more. I've made that decision. But Moses made it by faith. I want you to understand something tonight. That as you think that people are going to hate you, and as you think that people are going to be against you, and there will be some, don't ever forget that. Don't you ever look and pity yourself and say, oh, us poor Christians. You remember that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and he'll see you through every bit of it. Amen. Whatever it may be tonight. Did you ever get to feeling sorry for yourself tonight? Listening, serving the Lord. I get to feeling sorry for myself sometimes in my battle and that against Satan. Listen, if you go over to the book of Luke chapter 22, And verse 31, Jesus told Simon Peter over there, Simon, Simon. Well, I remember this verse a lot in the week. Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what that means? He wants to take you apart. The devil literally wants to take you, your life, your family. He wants to take every bit of you apart and then just ruin you for what that he can. And he'll do folk that way. He'll do it through sin. And he'll do it through folk quitting. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Moses could have had it easy, but by faith he chose and that to leave Pharaoh's daughter's house. No doubt God had showed Moses something. We'll deal with that here in just a second, okay? Don't get excited yet. Or you can go ahead and get excited. Just don't leave yet, amen. Hey, listen, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, Moses had opportunity and that to stay in Egypt. You've got opportunity as a Christian and that to go back out in the world. You can't be lost again. Listen, you can't get unsaved once you get saved. Do you know that? You can't. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Listen, that's not only a Baptist doctrine. That's a plain Bible doctrine tonight that you'll find in the King James Bible. Friend, that once you're saved, you're always saved. I was just a little old boy on the radio yesterday. I don't believe he's Baptist. But boy, he had something right. He was talking about how that the Holy Spirit was the earnest. That was on there. Hey, I was about to get excited there in the car. He got talking about the Holy Spirit being the earnest that God's give us, and we know that we're saved. Amen. Hey, I'm glad of that tonight. Amen. But listen, he said, look, he said, Moses could have stayed there and he could have enjoyed the pleasures of sin for just a season. Now, there's pleasures in sin. Sin has a good time for a little while. It really does. I was listening to a preacher this morning talking about how Budweiser paints a pretty picture, and they do. I've always been amazed at all the good commercials that they can come up with. And all the snappy jingles that you go around as Christians singing a Budweiser song if you ain't careful. Shame on us. Listen tonight, but they never in that picture, the picture of how it robs homes, how it takes rent money, how it causes cirrhosis of the liver, how it kills people down here on the highway, and how it ruins homes and turns good men and good women into sots and drunkards that won't even take care of their own family. Never shows you that, though. Just shows you the good time. And so there's pleasure in sin for a season. Sin never has a good outcome. No matter what the devil whispers in your ear, no matter what he shows you, sin never has a good outcome. I thought about saying this morning. For some reason, the Lord wouldn't let me. Before I preached, it had nothing to do with the message this morning. Just going to say it. But I want you to understand something. It's easy to get out of church. It's easy to get out of God's will. Do you know that? You get out. You have to strive, stay in God's will. You got to work at it, stay in God's will. Do you know that? So, preacher, do you work at it? Sure do. Sure do. I want to be where God wants me at, doing what God wants me to do, living for Him day in and day out. But it's easy to get out if you get your eyes looking somewhere else. Bible said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We have a tendency a lot of times to get the hand on the plow and begin to be like Lot's wife, where she turned back and looked and that into Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, listen, your roads will be crooked if you begin to turn and look back. And not only that, but the way you got your head turned is the way that you're eventually going to go. Sin never has a good outcome. You need to understand something, that you sin not only has a good outcome, does not ever have a good outcome. There's always a payday somewhere. Amen. What is it? A payday someday somewhere for sin. Now that's bad terminology. But because we don't pay for sin. Jesus Christ the Lord paid for every sin that there ever was. If we could pay for sin, he wouldn't have had to went to Calvary. But I'll guarantee you this, Galatians 6 and 7 is right. When he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But here we are. And Moses chose by faith to leave Pharaoh's daughter's house. And instead of staying there, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Could have had it easy and had good things. But he chose to go. Reckon what God told him to get him to go. Just hold on, we'll get there. You say, well, there's nothing in the book of Exodus that tells us about that. You're right, there is nothing in the book of Exodus. But there's some things in the Bible that it tells us. I want you to look in verse 26. It said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now let me park right here and talk about the treasures of Egypt for just a minute. Hey, listen, the nation of Egypt was a rich nation.
Amen.
If you go back, they built the treasure cities, I believe the nation of Israel did, Pithom and Ramses, built those cities, and many more was built, and they had extravagance, and we know that even from history. I mean, just from history, Egypt was a rich nation. And Moses could have had it all. But look what it said right here. It said, in streaming the reproach of Christ, greater riches. Now, it didn't say esteeming for the reproach or the reproach for Christ. It said the reproach of Christ. Now, let me say this tonight, that I do believe that Moses did know who the Lord was.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Well, the Bible said in John chapter 5, the Lord did, when he was talking to the Jews over there, he said, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. That's what the Lord Jesus said about about Moses. He said, if you believed him, you'd have believed me, for he wrote about me. So where'd he write about the Lord? Well, you can see him all through the book of Genesis, all the way through Deuteronomy. But he talked about that prophet that should come, that was going to be like him. You remember what they asked John the Baptist over? Said, are you that prophet? And John said, I'm not that prophet. You know what Moses was talking about? He was talking about Jesus. Do I know if what all Moses knew about the Lord? I don't know, but I know he knew something about him. Amen.
Amen.
But I want you to look right here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Listen, Moses knew that the reproaches and that I was going to fall upon him if he left Egypt. That word reproach means to upbraid or to treat with scorn and contempt. If there was ever anybody treated with scorn and contentment, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? He took our place. Listen, did they not scorn him and bring him to contempt and upbraid him? And I mean, they just made fun of him and mocked him and beat on him and finally crucified him. But yet the Bible said right here that Moses chose that direction rather than to stay in Egypt. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. Now he chose to suffer with the people of God. He chose in that to follow in the footsteps that he knew how that was going to be hard on him in following the Lord. Can I tell you it's the same for us today?
Right.
Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Now this is before Christ is crucified. As one preacher said, if there was ever a problematic chapter in the Bible, it's Luke chapter 9. They was just problem after problem that the Lord had to deal with and his disciples, especially toward the end of the chapter. I want you to look. I wanted you to read over here for yourself in Luke 9 and verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, it's the first thing you got to do is come after the Lord. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, this is before Christ has went to Calvary, but yet he uses the cross as a reference. Those men that he was speaking to understood what the cross meant. Rome was in the wholesale business and that of crucifying folk, and they understood the sacrifice that was going to have to be. I believe they understood at least what he was trying to say. And when the Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny your flesh. And you're going to have to go after the Lord Jesus and take up your cross daily and follow him. And then when we read that scripture, we think, oh, serving the Lord is hard. He wants me to sacrifice for him. He wants me to give up and that some things for him. Let me say, until you get saved, you can give up everything you want to. You can change all you want to. You can reform all you want to. And it ain't going to matter. Amen. You got to get saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you want to come after him and you get saved, and there's a difference made in your heart, there ought to be something in there that makes you want to follow him.
Amen.
And pick up your cross daily and follow him. Or to be something in there that makes a difference that you want to please him. So here Moses is, by faith he has left Egypt. Why? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Listen, what God had promised him, he knew that God was going to keep. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It's like our reward. You do realize that there is reward somewhere, someday, down the road for serving the Lord. He may bless you here, but I know he'll bless you over yonder.
Amen.
I know that there is a reward in heaven. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own what? Reward according to his own labor. I love my nephew to death. He's 18 years old. And when they're talking about going to class night when he was a senior, he didn't want to go. He said, but if I'd have known I was going to get all them rewards down there. Now, not awards, but rewards. And he had it right. It was his reward for going to school all them years and trying. I ain't sure how hard he tried, but I think he tried. Amen. And so he got a reward according to him for trying. But according to the scripture right here, for whatever and however we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a reward according to our labor in him. There'll be no reward if we don't labor. You go on and you read in the rest of that scripture, you'll find it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And it talks about how our rewards, that if our work stands and that through the fire, then there'll be rewards. But if it don't, then we're just going to make it in, as Job said, by the skin of our teeth. It said that for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God told Moses something to make him want to go. Take your Bible and go look in Acts chapter 7 again. I want you to look at this. If you go back to the book of Exodus, we find that he basically just goes, and I'll deal with that here in the next time, that he goes out and he ends up leaving. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But I want you to look in Acts chapter 7. And we'll pick back up in verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. So we know that Moses goes out in the book of Exodus and he sees an Egyptian and that smiting an Israelite. And Moses goes over and intervenes and ends up killing the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. I want you to look in verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. God had told Moses something. This ain't the time when God had revealed himself on the backside of the desert, because if you look in verse 26, it says, "And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again." Talking about two Israelites that are striving again. If you read the book of Exodus, saying, "Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another?" Somewhere when Moses was in Pharaoh's daughter's house, remember, "So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God." God had revealed himself to Moses that he was going to deliver the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. Ain't that what your Bible says right there? Acts chapter 7 verse 25, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." They didn't understand that Moses was going to be the deliverer and that for the children of Israel. Listen, something happened in Moses' life to bring him out of the daughter of Pharaoh's house to say, "I'm no longer going to be called by you. I'm no longer not going to be shackled by this place. I'm no longer going to be chasing after this sin and the things that it has to offer. God has got a plan for me." Moses knew what it was, but they didn't know what it was. Now, 40 years later, and we'll look at some of this the next time, whenever that is, Moses has been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Moses is 40 years old when he gets down there to Jethro's house. Moses is now 80 years old when God begins to speak to him out of the burning bush over there. And when he was 40, he was ready to deliver the children of Israel. But when he was 80, he wasn't so sure. As a matter of fact, I never find where God talked to Moses in them 40 years. I'm not saying that he did or didn't. I'm just saying I don't see it. God had told Moses something. Can I tell you tonight, God has told you something, and that's to live by faith and trust in Him. Take up your cross and follow Him. Listen, leave this world. Get out of this world. Listen, Moses was an Israelite, but he had to get away in that from Egypt. Hey, we're saved. We're a Christian and we have no business in the world. Mm-hmm. By faith, you need to follow God tonight and trust Him. I love separation. I love holy living. 1 Peter 1 verse 16, "Be ye holy for I am holy." Romans chapter 12, "Brethren, I beseech thee by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God." I think you ought to be separate. 1 Corinthians told the nation of Israel over there, as he's repeating, the Apostle Paul was, he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Moses, by faith Moses, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. You know, we're to suffer like he suffered, because we're to have respect under the recompense of the reward. Listen, he is not unfaithful to forget what we've done for him. There will be a reward one day after a while. I'm not doing it for the reward. I'm doing it because he loves me and I love him. But I'm glad there's a reward somewhere down the road. And we do it all by faith, simply believing that God's going to keep His Word and keep us through it all. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. Are you living by faith? Are you separated out of the world living by faith? Fellas, let's get a verse of invitation if we would tonight. I want to ask you tonight. It takes faith to get separated out of this world. It really does. I'm telling you not, God's already told you to get separate. You don't have to wait for God to come by and tell you something like He did Moses tonight. He's already told you to get separated out of it. You need to be separate.
And maybe you're struggling with that tonight. Say, well, preacher, I got these friends. Well, maybe you shouldn't have them friends. Say, well, I've got this habit. Well, maybe you shouldn't have that habit. I've got this and got that. Well, maybe you just need to bring it to the Lord and say, lay it out before the Lord and let Him decide some things on it. But tonight, by faith, putting our hope, our trust in the Lord. Let me say tonight, if you're unsaved, if you've never trusted Him to be your personal Savior, might be a young man, young lady, might be a boy or girl, man or woman, tonight would be a good night for you to come and get saved by faith, trusting the Lord tonight. Listen, He loves you, died for you, and wants you to get saved. I wish you'd come tonight. Go ahead and start playing if you're ready, Brother Lewis. Listen, while he plays, you want to come on up here and pray tonight. You'll come on and pray. Maybe something you need to do business with the Lord about. How about it? You need to come. Lord wants to help you tonight. Be like Moses. God spoke and he moved. You need to come. Has he been speaking to your heart tonight? So won't you just trust me by faith? Come and get saved. Won't you just trust me by faith and get separated and that out of the world tonight? Won't you just trust me by faith? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. I pray that you'd help your people. There may be somebody here tonight that just needs to come, and Lord, they may need their strength or their faith strengthened and increased in you. Lord, they may be weak in the faith. There may be somebody here tonight that's lost and undone without you, that does not know you. I pray they'd come and get saved tonight. Would you speak to their heart? Whatever the need is in the house tonight, Lord, I pray that move this evening. Tell you, Lord, again, we love you. And thank you for loving us. Helping this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name. Amen.